And we're happy tonight to have Lisa Dirks joining us. And Lisa is a registered dietitian down at Mayo Clinic. And I want to thank her for giving us her time. Recently, the New York Attorney General's office uncovered what seemed to be widespread fraud in the dietary supplement industry. They accused four big retailers, which were Target, GNC, Walgreens, and Walmart, of selling supplements that were either contaminated or didn't even contain what was listed on the label. So how do we know who to trust, what to trust? And here to help us, of course, is Lisa Dirks. So Lisa, welcome to the Roadhouse.
Thanks, Buck, for having me.
Were you as shocked as I was? I guess I wasn't shocked that not everything was always there, but at how four out of five containers that they tested didn't have any of the product that was on the outside label?
I would say I was a little shocked in that there wasn't anything in there. Maybe it's because I, like most consumers, hope that what I buy is at least somewhat in the product that I'm getting. So I think there's always been this, you know, maybe the amounts aren't up to what we think is on the labeling, but definitely some shock there with many products not having anything in it at all.
Well, how are those products currently regulated? Are you familiar with the process?
Yep, I'm familiar with the process. So currently, the Food and Drug Administration does not, it's not like medication drugs that we're used to having to go through this vigorous system to get approval and be available through our pharmacy. So they... manufacturers don't have to seek out the Food and Drug Administration approval before they put their dietary supplement on the market. They can put a claim on the product that it addresses some kind of nutrient deficiency or supports our health. However, they have to have research that supports that claim and also include a disclaimer that the FDA hasn't evaluated their claim. We trust that the manufacturers follow good manufacturing practices, which is kind of what this story is bringing out, that maybe what their supplements aren't processed consistently and don't meet the standards that we would expect. And those regulations are really meant to keep things out, wrong ingredients, contaminants, and keep the right stuff in. But currently, the FDA is responsible for monitoring safety of a supplement once it's on the market. So until a dietary supplement is proven unsafe, the FDA doesn't have any really jurisdiction to pull it away from the shelves.
So the FDA doesn't look into it unless somebody else has already done so.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where sometimes there's been supplements that are on the market, and then we'll hear news where now the supplement's no longer available. And that's usually the usual case is that after it's come to market, it's been shown that there is harmful from that supplement, and therefore the FDA takes it off the shelf.
So if they're just putting rice and ground-up pine needles and things in there that aren't necessarily harmful,
right?
They still haven't, they still won't bring in the FDA because,
right.
Yeah, they don't hurt anybody.
Yeah, and there is, you know, on the labeling, if we look at all the different products, there's different symbols and things that are on the containers. Two that are usually can be found on the container is one is the initials USP, which stands for United States Pharmacopeia Convention. And the USP, if it is a yellow and black symbol, actually means that it's verified, it's gone through a system, that actually what is in the product is vetted as what's in there. However, a lot of manufacturers can use the initials USP that is not the official verified seal. So most consumers, we've heard about USP, and we pick up a bottle and we see the initials and think it's okay, but that just means the company claims that they produce the supplements in accordance with the standards. But if you see the initials in the yellow and black seal, that actually means that they did go through the whole process and the brand should have in it what they're saying is in it. The other symbol that you can find on containers is the initials NSF in a blue circle, typically seen on fish oil, multivitamin type products. And again, that's a nonprofit group that independently certifies those supplements as containing what is in the product. So those are two symbols that you can look for on products and know that they have been evaluated and have in them what is said to be in them.
Well, are the rules different then for herbal supplements than they are for like multivitamins and things like fish oil, et cetera?
So fish oils, they still fall into the symbol. They fall under dietary supplements, so they fall under the same types of regulations as well. So those same symbols would take into account if you're looking at fish oil or multivitamins versus an herbal.
Well, these large companies like GNC and even Target stores and Walmart stores and Walgreens might say, well, you know, somebody else is manufacturing this and we didn't have any control, but yet some of these products are have their labels on and are their number one products. Like for GNC, it's their Herbal Plus line that was tested.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that will come of the Attorney General's accusations then?
Well, as a practitioner, I would hope that what comes to it is that we begin to look at the industry and what, you know, and it's been almost, well, over 20 years that the federal law went into effect that supplements could be sold this way. And so, you know, after 20 years, hopefully we, in this investigation, that we will look at these general health claims that are on products and determine if there needs to be more regulation within the supplement industry, you know, similar to like we have with prescription drugs, that we know what we're getting.
Sure. I just have a feeling, you know, I go to see my doctor and he says, hey, you need more vitamin D. So I go down and buy a jar of vitamin D.
Sure. Yep.
But now I'm wondering if even I can count on those products.
Yeah. Well, and those two symbols I talked about, but there are also two websites, consumerlab.com and another one called Labdoor, that actually do independent testing of supplements, dietary supplements. The downside is both those websites charge a fee for accessing their reports. You can get a little free information from them, but they kind of have, you know, vitamin D, you know, which ones have in them the amount that they say, which ones are best value for what you're getting, price compared to what's in the pill or the chew.
We're speaking with Lisa Dirks, and Lisa is the registered dietitian down at the Mayo Clinic. We're talking about the supplement industry. How large, have you any idea how large this industry might be?
I do not, but I would think quite large.
I understand from reading a New York Times article that it's $13 billion in that industry in the United States, so it's a huge industry.
Yeah.
As in your work as a dietitian, do you depend on supplements as far as your advice that you give people that come to you?
So for the most part, I usually start with whole foods. So we know that whole foods are just more complex, and there's a variety of micronutrients that come from different foods, along with things like fiber and phytochemicals, all that are in one certain food, versus a pill or a supplement may not have all the components to it. So sometimes when I speak to groups, when I went to college, we really didn't talk about the word phytonutrients. That was kind of a newer term. And so I think about foods that we now, pomegranates and blueberries, and we think about taking supplements of those foods, and I wonder if we take just a single component of that food out and put it in a supplement, what might be missing in that supplement pill that we're just not aware of yet at that chemical level that it's there and it serves a purpose in when we eat the whole food. So for most people, I'm going to say whole foods, fruits and vegetables, whole grains. There are a few subsets of people who need supplements or might need fortification in their diets. Pregnant women should be talking to their physicians about folic acid and iron. Sometimes as we age, Vitamin B12 is a little harder for us to get in our diet, but it is available in fortified cereals. So again, it kind of depends on what our diet makeup is whether somebody needs that. And then anybody who's really just limiting their diet for whatever reason it might be from, like, whole food groups. So, for example, somebody who's following a vegan diet, if done correctly, can actually get almost all their nutrients from their vegan diet. But it's just a matter of reviewing that diet and making sure that they're getting all the necessary nutrients. And if not, then it's evaluating, do you want to make changes to your diet, or do you need a supplement if you're not eating, for example, fortified foods with vitamin B12 in it?
I imagine you've looked into this a lot. Are there studies out there that indicate that these supplements, such as taking multivitamins, do actually work?
So actually, the studies actually say that most people do not need a multivitamin. So not found to increase life expectancy because we take a daily multivitamin. Good healthy diet.
Can they tell though if the vitamin is actually producing in the person what it's said to produce?
You mean like a vitamin pill?
Yeah. Do they actually work? Do they not? Do they? Do you need to take them necessarily?
Sure.
But do they actually produce in the body what they're designed to do?
So, and each vitamin is a little different in how it acts in your body, and so some vitamins, such as vitamin C, for example, is a water-soluble vitamin. So you can take that, but your body will only use so much of it, and then anything else it doesn't need, it will excrete, versus other vitamins, our body likes to hold on to them, and so we want to be careful about how much of those that we are taking and not... And being mindful and reading labels and talking to our physician about how much of vitamins such as vitamin A and D and E we're actually taking.
Are there problems sometimes? I know I get asked maybe if I'm going into the doctor, are you taking any supplements? Are there problems with how they interact with prescribed medicines?
Yep. So whether it's an herbal or even vitamins and minerals, we always encourage people to share that on their medication list, just like a medication you get from a pharmacy. So they all have different things they could interact with. But, for example, ginkgo biloba has a small risk of bleeding with it. So if somebody was going in for elective surgery, and, you know, they'd want to tell the doctor, I'm taking ginkgo biloba, because they'd actually want you to stop taking it 2 to 3 weeks before your elective surgery. So that's just one example where, you know, depending on what the herb or supplement or vitamin is and what's going on, whether it's a procedure or a medication the physician's going to prescribe, determining if there's any interactions.
From what I've seen from Walmart and GNC and Target, you could take all the ginkgo biloba you want to because there's none in the bottle. You know, they found rice and mustard and wheat and radish in the bottle. You know, one of the comments that came back from the GNC people is that they didn't believe in the new type of testing that the New York Attorney General use, the DNR barcode testing. Are you familiar with that at all?
I'm not as familiar with the testing itself.
Okay. Well, that was their claim, although I think there's been a number of studies done on that testing, and it seems to be work pretty well.
Yeah.
Do you prescribe herbal supplements now as part of what you do?
Nope, I don't. So I'm not able to prescribe medications or supplements. However,
okay,
we would talk through them. I'm probably more likely to talk to people about vitamins or minerals, depending on what their conditions are. I talk to people about fish oil. So depending on what their cardiac history is, or if somebody, again, is... my first line is to eat fish twice a week. That's, you know, a healthy diet. That's what we should be aiming for. But if somebody has a history of heart disease and fish oil is just not, or fish, excuse me, is not part of their diet and they don't plan to include it, then I will talk to people about the benefits of fish oil.
Well, it sounds like from what I'm hearing from you is that if people want to be sure that they're getting a safe and accurate supplement, they can go to, they can look first of all for the label that, the label, two labels that you mentioned. That was USP and NSF.
Yep.
Labels on the bottle, and they need to be a symbol.
Yep.
Plus the label, and also go to the two websites that would require you to spend money to look at their research. But I've forgotten those websites. Have you got that handy?
Yep. So consumerlab.com and then Labdoor, and also on the Mayo Clinic website, they there's a whole list of supplements and vitamins that are available. That they break down nicely into what is the indication. So if I heard from somebody about ginkgo biloba, I can go on there, read the background, read what is the evidence about that supplement, and if I choose to take it, what's an appropriate dose, and if there's safety interaction type information as well. So
another
that's
great,
all on mayoclinic.org.
Another great resource for people out there listening. Lisa, we've been speaking with Lisa Dirks. She is the a registered dietitian at Mayo Clinic. Lisa, I want to thank you so much for your time tonight. It sounds to me like people have to do a little investigating, and the herbal industry may have a lot of repair to do.
Yeah, do a little investigating, but at the end of the day, try to eat a healthy diet.
Perfect. Thank you very much.